What a blood-bought privilege it is to turn our souls to that rest. I hope you enjoy that, because usually when I say, well, we can dismiss and go home now, because there is the very essence of the gospel. What more can we say after singing that hymn? We're going to turn in God's Word this morning to Matthew's Gospel and the 4th chapter. And I have to make a little explanation. Some people ask me, in Trinity, what is that on your lapel? Well, I can assure you it's not the Virgin of Guadalupe. It is not Mary or any of her cohorts. It is rather one of the cohorts of William of Orange. At the Battle of the Boyne, it is Master Schomberg. And one of the ministers in Northern Ireland, one of those, so 3 years ago, took me to get this, to remember 1690, Good King Billy. So, all right. So we're going to, so you understand this is not a Romanist icon, it is a Protestant icon. So, we are reading from Matthew's Gospel and the 4th chapter, beginning with the first verse of our Savior. Let us consider carefully God's word to us this morning. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the close of that 11th verse, the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' almighty name that thou wilt give us a portion for our hearts from thy word today. Lord, we pray that thou wilt cause each of us to have something in this message that will minister to us and help us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I am thankful for the privilege to be here with you folks today. I'm glad to see so many of you, and many of you I've not seen in a long time. And I am very glad to see new faces as well. And I am thankful for the opportunity to bring the word here today. Dr. Allison really loaded me down I told him in Sunday school that normally I sit in Sunday school and enjoy the ministry of the elders and not the preacher. But I had to buckle down a little bit and get ready for Sunday school as well as these other meetings. So I'm thankful to be here. And I appreciate my son-in-law Ernie preaching today. Usually does that when I'm away, and I'm very glad that can be here to bring the word today. So I trust the Lord will do us good, and we're praying that the Lord will send his man to this congregation. We thank God for the ministry of this church to our hearts over many decades. We trust that God will work in answer to prayer. We are looking to one verse here in our Savior's temptation. But you notice in the temptation that the most of the temptation was an if thou be the Son of God. Well, what did the Father just said in chapter 3? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I love him. He's my Son. A voice from heaven. And yet the devil comes and said, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. So any time after we enjoy some real spiritual blessings, we can count on the sower of doubt and discord to come and say, oh yeah, you big hypocrite, I saw what you just did. Don't kid yourself. You're not a Christian. Well, don't believe the liar. Believe God's word. We're not saved because we're not sinners. We're saved because we are sinners. Praise God. So we thank God for the forgiveness of sin. We're looking at verse 4. The words of Jesus there. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Precious martyr of our Lord Jesus Christ was condemned to die. The cruel judge was not at all satisfied simply that the day had been set for the martyr to be burned. So he mockingly said, while you're awaiting your execution day, I make no allowance for food to be given to you. What can your God do for you now? How can he feed you? Well, the prisoner thought for a moment and then replied, why, if God wills, he can feed me from your own table. Well, mysteriously, that is exactly what the Lord did. Unknown to the judge, his own wife was touched with sympathy for that poor believing prisoner. So she secretly had food sent to him in abundance every day until the day that he was burned. Man shall not live by bread alone. What was our Lord Jesus Christ saying in this verse? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I would say, first of all, that Christ was saying, we live only by God's will. It's not bread that keeps us alive. Our Lord Jesus was perfectly aware of what the evil one was doing throughout this temptation. And he was not at all going to be taken in by Satan. But Satan was using something with the Lord Jesus that he often and his minions so often use on us with great success. And what was that? It was just to live your life without reference to God. Just live your life thoughtlessly from day to day without the Lord. Without any desire for him, without any heart cry to him, Just live your life. Don't worry about God because He's busy anyway. Well, Christ saw through the subtlety of this satanic trick. Jesus was in a wilderness, and Jesus was very hungry. Oh, so hungry. I know that so many, practically all the states in our country, are overwhelmed with the flu in its various kinds at this time. Now, my dear sister and brother-in-law next door to us on the farm, they have been overwhelmed the last week with the respiratory flu, that awful stuff. And we take things to the door and set them down and call them on the way home. We just left some things at your door. We're not about to go in because right at Christmas, we were afflicted on Christmas Day with the other kind of flu, not the respiratory. And I read these words about our Savior fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And we fasted for a day or so, and were so absolutely weak that we could hardly lift our hand. So what was it like for our Savior to be in the wilderness and to be one who had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights? It's just beyond my comprehension. But He refused. Our Savior refused to do what Israel had done in the very same situation. Israel, the nation Israel, had been in the wilderness like Him and had been hungry. And they failed the test. But Christ, as our covenant head, succeeded for us. Where Israel failed, where Adam failed, Christ did not fail. He completely was successful. Now Israel had been in the wilderness, and they were very hungry. And rather than trust in the Lord, rather than wait for Him, they sinned. This is what Satan was trying to get Jesus to do, to operate without reference to God. He loves for us to operate day to day in our lives. What did the assembly? Oh, I'm sorry, I dropped my mic here. I have to do this at home now, too. They got me in bondage as well. But our Savior passed the test where Israel did not. Israel said, the whole assembly will be killed with hunger. And they asked, is the Lord among us or not? And what did God do? God sent the manna. For 40 years. He did the miraculous rather than letting them starve. So what did Christ do? Christ could say with Job, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Though He starve me, yet will I wait upon Him. I'm not going to do this Satan's way. I'm going to leave this in the Father's hands. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I will wait for Him. And His wait was well rewarded. You see there in verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. What a beautiful word that word ministered is. Diakoneo, it is the angels came and deaconed Him. The angels came and waited on the tables for Jesus and brought Him abundant, delicious, sumptuous food. It was worth the wait rather than just having some old bread made from stones. What a blessing, the Lord Jesus Christ being successful for us. Christ was doing all that He did that day, always for the glory of God the Father, but also for the good of His blood-bought people. Although Adam had failed, Christ demonstrated His own perfect righteousness. He wrought an absolutely spotless obedience for us, to give it to us by imputation to all of His believing people. I love that song we were singing there last about what all Christ did. He did it for us. Because Romans 5:19 is so beautiful. So that by the obedience of the one, the article is there in the Greek, so by the obedience of the one shall many be made, constituted, rendered, or regarded as righteous. We are righteous because of His perfect life. His merit, His full obedience are put on every believing sinner's account. Now that should make us sing and shout. Romans 5:8 and 9, we are saved by His death, justified by His blood, but we're also saved by His life. His perfect submission to the Father's commandments for us. Praise the Lord. We live not by bread alone. We live only by the will of God. In this new year, we really need to be thinking like Christ. We need to be thinking about the Father and His Word. Rather than thinking our own thoughts, we need to be thinking God's thoughts. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on many occasions, showed us how to do this. He shows us here. He made reference back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to turn back there for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. Very wonderful chapter. I love this book of Deuteronomy. I have one of these journals where you write the Word of God. And then you answer questions about it. I love that. In Deuteronomy 8, 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do that, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Okay. The Lord promises good success to those who obey His word. Here we are in this new year. And look down there at verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments. He says, remember. The Lord promises success to those who keep His word, but He says, remember the way which the Lord thy God has led thee. And notice how He fed thee. Verse 3, and He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only. Here's where Jesus is quoting from. Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. He fed His people. He feeds His people. He fed those people unnaturally, even supernaturally, with manna. And notice verse 4. He says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. The Lord even reversed the second law of thermodynamics for His people during those 40 years. The wear on the clothing and shoes, they wouldn't wear out. There was no deterioration. And I pause for a moment because we lived in Northern Ireland the first year we were married. And while I was there, it's the most wonderful thing. I got 4 pairs of socks. And I call them Moses socks. Hadn't quite been 40 years. We've been married 38 years. And I've got a pair of those socks on right now. Some of the best socks I've ever had. I call them Moses socks. But you know, the Lord took care of His people, even negating the second law of thermodynamics at that time. Just holding it, suspending it. The clothes wouldn't wear out. The shoes didn't wear out. The feet didn't swell. Wow, how amazing it was. God's care for His people. But here we are. We are so prone to trust in our own doing, in our own scheming, rather than really trusting Him and obeying Him. Notice verse 15. Who led thee through this great and terrible wilderness. We're in Deuteronomy 8 still, where Jesus quoted from. Wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. And then notice verse 17. He warns them, don't get to where you say in your heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers. Verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. You know, we tend to think that we can do this. We'll be okay, because we got food in our pantry. There's money in the bank. We put back something for retirement. But Christ said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Now, the problem with these things is that these things are made into our God rather than. Trusting in our ability to supply our own needs, trusting in our own ability to survive in this world. But what does he say? Man shall not live by bread alone. You can have all the bread you want, but man does not live by that. It is only by the will of God that we live. Bread will not even nourish the body. Bread will not even sustain the body unless God blesses it. He says in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 6, ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled. Micah 6 and verse 14, thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. Let us understand. Man shall not live by bread alone. Whether we like it or not, our life, our very existence is totally and absolutely dependent on Almighty God. In Him, we live and move and have our being. Our very breath is in His hand. Daniel 5 and verse 23. He has power to sustain our breathing, or He has power to cut it off. Shall we not then totally submit our very thinking and all of our living to Him in this year that He has brought us into? One other point, and we'll be done. Secondly, not only we live only by God's sovereign will, Christ is saying by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, He is very literally saying that every event in our lives proceeds from the sovereign God. Now I've got to prove that to you since I dared to say that. The normal Greek term for word here is not used. Those of you Greek scholars know the usual term is logos. But here he uses the term rhema. Some of the places where rhema is used will show us what Christ was meaning. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's used in Luke chapter 2, verse 15. You recently probably read this verse. The shepherds, having heard that the Savior, the Messiah, had been born, was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger in Bethlehem, the shepherds said in Luke 2, 15, let us go and see this thing that is this rhema, this event that is underway. Let's go see it. Again, it's used in Luke, the same chapter, verse 19. Mary, upon hearing all that the shepherds had experienced out there at night out in the fields, when they told her about these events, she kept them all pondering or tossing them around in her mind, what this could be. And then one more. Acts chapter 5, verse 32, the apostles told the Jewish leaders, we are witnesses of these things, these rhemas,
These events, what were these events? You're taking Jesus unlawfully, you're torturing Him, you're slaying Him, and His resurrection. We are witnesses of all these events. So every event in our lives that proceeds out of the mouth of God's holy decree for us, that's how we live. So Christ would have us to understand that bread is not our life. Our existence depends totally on God's sovereign will. And that every event in our lives proceeds from His decree. That every single event is pronounced through the mouth of Almighty God for us. That is so amazing. So based on these facts, how are we to live in 2018? Since our existence is only by Him, since every event proceeds from Him, we ought to yield ourselves totally to Him. Dying to self-will, living by His will, by His word. We must respond and live as Christ did in every situation. And what did He do? He always went directly to the Word of God. Let's find our life in the Word of God. In every circumstance, in every situation, in every temptation, we are to go to the Word of God. But what does that mean? That means that we can only do this. We can only apply the Word of God to each of these situations, circumstances, and temptations if we are in the Word, reading the Word daily, studying the Word daily. And here is the awful reality that for so many centuries, the Word of God was withheld from the people of God. They couldn't have the Word. But thank God we have the Word. And we must use it. Our Savior in Matthew 4:4 was revealing, as He often did, the spiritual and the wonderful value and the profitable nature of the Old Testament. The children of Israel in that wilderness were in the midst of a spiritual struggle like we face on a regular basis. Therefore, we should learn from them our spiritual struggles. Paul wrote of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You remember verse 11? He said they were written for our admonition, meaning to put in the mind as a constant caution. They're written for our admonition in the matter of the manna. He goes into that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What about the manna? We need daily manna. Man does not live by bread alone, but we got to have some manna every day. In manna, they had to forget how they had lived, how they had managed during those many, many years in the land of Egypt. They had to forget how so easily they collected the fruits that were produced as a result of the overflow of the Nile River. They had to forget all of that wonderful nourishment, and they had to daily gather the manna, the nourishment that would get them through another day. Tedious. Imagine getting up every morning early before the sun gets hot and going out and gathering up this little manna. When I was a child, my father loved farming. He didn't just have cornfields and cotton fields. He had a huge vegetable garden. And I remember as a child, the Great Depression that came over me when he would bring in these big bushel baskets of peas and beans and things that had to be processed. We got to work those till our fingers hurt. It was so tedious. We had to do that. And these people had, on a daily basis, to get up 6 days a week and go out there and pick that stuff up off the ground. Had to get up in the morning before the sun got hot and do that. And then on the day before the Sabbath, they had to do double duty so they'd have something to eat the next day. You snooze, you lose. Now, they couldn't hoard it up. They had to just gather the daily amount, learning to depend on the faithfulness of Almighty God, that He would supply every need, every day, one day at a time. And you know, He tells us that's for our admonition. You say, hey, old buddy, I don't really like that kind of Christianity. I'd really like something that didn't cost me so much. You tell that to the martyrs. We thought about that martyr right at the beginning today. In 2018, let us go deeper and seek to walk with the living God moment by moment, because the one who gives us daily bread is the great miracle-working Jehovah. And this is life eternal. Knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ that He has sent. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word or every event that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for Him. Everything we have is wrapped up in Him. So I wonder, have you come to Him? Do you understand that Christ alone has lived the perfect life in order to give you that perfect righteousness freely of His grace? He has died that horrible atoning death, shedding His precious blood. That alone can remove your sin. Have you ceased trying to work out your own righteousness in order to depend upon Him alone for your salvation? Let us pray together. Let us pray. Oh God, our loving Father in heaven, we are thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us the absolute truth, who is the absolute truth, who has lived out that truth and so freely offers all that He's wrought to put it to the account of poor needy sinners. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt take Thy word today and rivet it to our hearts. Lord, we confess that our minds and our memories are so slippery, we easily forget, as the children of Israel so easily forgot, what Thou'dst done for them and giving them all that they had. Lord, we become so independent and so self-sufficient that we do not cry unto Thee. We do not depend on Thee every day for everything. Oh Lord, teach us Thy way. And now, may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit abide with each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.